Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
But this morning I'm going to share something that's going to bring tears. Are you ready? This morning's message is not a today we're going to turn Newcastle entirely Christian in one morning message. This is more a real personal message for your world. And I really felt to bring it. So I just sensed this morning that God is going to speak really deeply into your soul. Into that part of your life that you try to hide from everybody, including Jesus. So if you don't want to be touched in your inner man or woman by the Holy Spirit, I suggest now is the time to leave the building. So I'm going to start by saying it's very amusing how people see me. Well, it amuses me, okay? Because people only see me dressed like this on a Sunday, full face of makeup, and you're grateful for that, let me tell you. You are actually grateful for that. And people only see me a certain way because all they see, or often all they see of me, is Jenny in the pulpit prophesying over people, right? So when they meet me, they think I knew what they ate yesterday. It's not true. The Holy Spirit or I are not interested, right? It's not true. So it's very interesting how one-dimensional people see me as a person, right? And it actually makes me chuckle to myself at times, right? Who people actually think I am, right? And so I'm going to start this morning by giving you a little insight into who I really am, okay? Because I'm just an Aussie girl made good, really. An Aussie girl with a lot of makeup and jewelry is really me, okay? So I'm a lot of sparkle and ladylikeness, but really I'm an Aussie beach girl dressed up in finery, okay? So, for example, I went to Ghana, did a weekend in Hope City, Ghana. The weekend they had no electricity and no water. So I didn't have a shower. And then it rained on my bed and then I slept on a towel because the sheets were wet. I survived. I preached in 37 degrees with no air conditioning. I survived. And people think, oh, Jen, no, I'm an Aussie girl dressed up in finery. Let me give you some other truths. When I met Dave, I was dressed in a cheesecloth dress with tapestry sandals and ate vegetarian food and never wore makeup. It was a phase. It was a phase. That's what I was like. I mowed our lawn. We've been married 30 years. For 28 years, I mowed the lawn. Come on. Because Dave was never home. There was a blip for 1 year when I had the first hip replacement that I didn't do it. No, actually, that's not true. There was a blip for about 3 months. And because the lawn wasn't mowed, I thought I'm just going to do it. So I just leant on the thing and mowed it. So for 28 years, I've mowed. So now you're seeing the real picture, aren't you? This is, you know, I mowed the lawn for 28 years. I leaned on the mower. This is funny. The girl that used to be my PA, Sarah Smith, this is my new PA, Haley. She's from Australia. You see, I needed an Australian to understand me. Sarah Smith used to think this was the sin above all sins, right? Because when I do the shopping, right, I just chuck everything in. You go to the checkouts. There's various type of people at the checkouts, aren't there? There's the people, you know, the people that place everything? And then they take up mile. Who's that? Who's the placer person? No. See, that's not me. I just get it all and just chuck, lob it on, right? And then I don't, with the bags, like if I buy a new pair of undies, I'll chuck it in with the chicken. Do you know, that's the kind of girl I am, right? So I'm surprising you at this point, aren't I? Because there's always two sides to a person. And that's the person I really am. I'm an Aussie girl who loves the beach. I have no qualms at going surfing and then driving home for 3 hours without a shower. Just some salt water on the skin. The Aussies, you're appreciating this, aren't you? Aussies, yes. Dave, you've got more Aussies here than we have in Sheffield. You have a gaggle of Australians in this place. I'm not scared of spiders. I'm great at exterminating and catching them. I love Christian music, but most of all, I like good, solid Aussie rock. Yes, ah, come on, girlfriend. And finally, I've been known to wear a onesie at home. I actually had a onesie that had rabbit ears and a tail, and Dave confiscated it. Because he said it wasn't very attractive. Anyway, so that's me, right? There's a side unseen to all of us. Now, you're at this point very grateful that you didn't see me in the onesie with rabbit ears. But there's a side to all of us that we think is completely unseen. And it's a side we're sometimes scared to expose. And I call it, this is the title of my message today, the dark side of the moon. There's a side to our lives at times that no one sees and that we don't want to expose, and we think that we shouldn't even show to God. Because we think God wants perfection, but what God actually wants is all of us. And so we come to God with the shiny bits. We come to God with the side of us that we think God is pleased to see. But the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows who we are completely and totally. We think God can't see the whole person. We think that God does not want to look at and deal with our weaknesses, our fissures, and our flaws. And do you know what? God loves your flaws. God died for your weaknesses. God died for the very things that we think God is not pleased about. And I'm going to read to you that amazing passage of scripture from Psalm 139. I'm just going to read you the first number of verses. It says, "You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down." Don't you love the fact that God is with you when you're resting? "You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, O Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, Australians, even in Newcastle, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." God sees you. Turn to your neighbor this morning and says, "This morning, God sees you." Do you know, we read in 2 Samuel about King David. Now, King David was a man who succumbed to weakness. He was a man who succumbed to weakness. And we all succumb to weakness, just as King David did. And King David, he stayed away from where he should have been. He made a mistake. He tried to cover up his actions by killing the husband of Bathsheba, whom he wronged. He stuffed up. He made royal top drawer mistakes. And the amazing thing about King David is he turns out to be a guy in the Old Testament who wrote so many of the Psalms, because he was a guy who knew that he needed God. And there is an element in all of us that believes there are areas in our lives that we don't want to surrender or think God's redemptive power is beyond being able to break through in. I want to speak to you this morning to those very areas of your life that we try and hide from the Holy Spirit. Now, the fact is, the Holy Spirit can see everything. But this morning, he wants us to be people that actually admit to God, "God, this is me." And, you know, it's like he's sitting in heaven going, "I know." But he wanted you to say it. He wanted you to open up your whole heart to him and say, "This is me, God. This is me." I just love the way with King David in the Psalms, it shows the empowering power of God upon weakness. And King David turned out to be the most wonderful king. And he wrote this in Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And then it goes on and says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to my God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Do you know, I really believe this morning that this is going to be some people's story today. God's design is that he doesn't just touch our dark side, but he makes it a firm place. Because God's pattern of the way he wants to work in our lives, he doesn't want to just touch our dark side. He wants to turn it into a firm place. And then he wants to attach platform to that place. There's not the most amazing thing about God is that he tends to come and land on the thing upon which we are the weakest, and he gives us strength in it, and then he gives us a ministry through it. God doesn't tend to come and land on the things that you are amazing at, because he doesn't get the glory that way. He comes and lands on the stuff that you're awkward in, that you're weak at. Come on. Yeah. Now, I'm like the shy girl of the century, and for the rest of my life, God has got platform ministry for me. What was he thinking? Because God comes and lands on the very thing that you're weak at, breathes on it, and turns it into destiny. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He is the master of reinventing the very thing that we thought would destroy us. I pray this morning that that gives you hope. Sometimes God allows us to go places in our hearts we think we can't cope with. Anybody with me there? And it's because he's committing to steering us into an incredible plan. So if you're in a place today that you think this is impossible, there's no way out. What am I doing here? God, come on. God's left me here. I'm alone. I can't understand what's going on where I'm at right now. Let me assure you this morning that God has got a purpose and a destiny and a plan for the exact place that you're at today. Second, I've got lots of scripture this morning because I'm smart enough to know that my word doesn't change his life. The scripture changes lives. 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You might just see wastage. Trust me, at 50, I'm seeing a lot of wastage. A lot of gravity. Let's just put it that way. Gravitational pull towards Australia. Outwardly, I am wasting away, but inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. I'm 16 on the inside. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Let's think about that scripture. For our light and nothing feels light and momentary when it's light and momentary, does it? It feels heavy and long-lasting. But when we look at it from the perspective of heaven, the Bible says our light and momentary troubles are producing in us something that is so incredibly powerful. So I'm going to share something this morning that I've only ever shared once before from the platform. Are you ready? It's juicy today in Newcastle and Sunderland. So for the last few years, I've been dealing with a core issue in me that I've hidden away. Now, as soon as I say that, you're all there thinking, yeah, I know exactly the one I've hidden. I know exactly the thing inside me that I pretend isn't happening, that I pretend to God doesn't exist. the very thing inside us that we know that we need the Holy Spirit to touch. So I've been dealing with this issue. And you know, whatever it is in any of us, it can be insecurity, inferiority, pride, fear, unforgiveness. I mean, the list goes on forever, doesn't it? And the wonderful thing about our Father God is that the reason why he talks about it is he knows that we'll deal with it, because he's not a God that doesn't understand that life brings up all sorts of stuff. Life brings up, the longer you are in the tooth, there must be a reason for that saying. I'm just going there for a second. Longer in the tooth. I need to look into that. Maybe your gums recede so far when you're 90 that your teeth look longer. Just saying. I don't know. So this is what happened. So in the last few years, I lost my mum. She was promoted to heaven. My only son moved to Australia. My husband was traveling all the time. And I was I went through a major, major grieving period in my life, like incredible industrial grief. And when I was grieving, the first thing I began to realize, well, this is an emotion I've felt before. And I was trying to pin down where I felt this emotion before. And I realized it was grief, because I felt this emotion when I was 16, 17, because my father collapsed in church when I was 16 and was dead within 6 weeks. And when my dad died, nobody, which is just bizarre actually, because I was in a large church of 800 people, not one person ever spoke to me about my dad's death. No pastor, no friend. I was 16 years old. And I just got through it. And so these last 3 years ago, I recognized that emotion again, and I thought, you know, this is grief. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm strong. I can handle this. I can get through this. I'm strong. But I began to pinpoint the real issue that was going on in my soul. Because beneath the surface in my life, there was something that only these circumstances could expose. And God knew what he was doing by again putting me through a patch in my life where everything was falling off. And so this is actually my story, and many of you know some of it. But when I was born in 1966, which officially makes me 50, I was not loved. I was not planned. Like many of us are, I was actually the unwanted baby of a gang rape. And I was farmed out for adoption at the age of 10 days old. So then this was all compounded in my life. And then when I was 16, obviously, then my dad suddenly died. I lost my dad, who was my hero, died of cancer. And so what had actually happened was life had placed within me a great fear of abandonment and almost an expectation that I would be continually let down. So I found myself again at age 47 facing the core issue inside of me that I'd hidden from God. And in the kindness of God, because how I can look back at it now, in the kindness of God, he allowed me, my mum to die, my mum that brought me up to die, my son to go to Australia. There were multiple other things that happened at the same time that just broke my heart. And in the kindness of God, he allowed me to visit again the issue in my heart that he wanted to deal with. He wanted to deal with that sense of abandonment. And I remember crying out to God, because I've always dreamed of family, and I was praying that I'd have my children and my grandchildren around me. And I felt that God had denied me. I'm speaking right into your hearts now, aren't I? You tell a story. I know I'm speaking to wound. And I remember crying out to God and saying, you've denied me even the very thing that I dreamed about. I mean, Dave and I left Australia in 1991 and left family. And so 22 years later, I was saying to God, you've done it again. You've taken my family away again. I have nobody. Mum's dead. My son's in Australia. And I remember just saying to God, God, I don't understand why you would be so cruel. Why would you hurt me like this? But instead, what he was actually doing was he's choosing to take the thing that hurt me most and turn it to his glory. And so if you find yourself today in a patch of life facing an issue that comes again and comes again and comes again. It's because God wants to place his anointing and his power and his healing upon the very issue that you're facing in your life. And so again, I had to visit the very thing that is actually the kernel of my soul, which is Psalm 68, verse 5 to 6. I am a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. And then it says, but this made me chuckle when God spoke to me, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. I said, yes, son, you're living. My rebel son, rebel son living in Sydney, music directing in Oxford Falls Church with 5,000 people there serving God. You're being rebellious in a sun-scorched land. No, he's not. He's following God. But what was actually happening in the middle of it was that I was discovering the truth again of the Word of God. God was taking me back to the place where I needed to get my security and my family. God began to show me and gave me incredible thankfulness again for the family that God has given us in Hope City Church. The Bible says he sets the lonely in families. God has given us an amazing family. People walk into our church in every location all over the world, and one of the first things they say is Hope City feels like a family. It's because God has created that for us. You know beautiful Anne Marie that you saw from KL? Let me in into a secret. There's no secret really. She feels called to run City Hearts Malaysia. And she is the most capable, amazing girl you could ever meet. So within a couple of years, God will be doing, there's already doors opening into government in Malaysia now. And this girl adopted just like me as a baby, same story. God's going to use the very thing that the enemy tried to break her. God's going to use it and use her weakness. Adversity, listen, adversity and admission has created a platform for the Spirit of God to land. Adversity and admission. God wants you to admit to God who you really are. Do you know, sometimes we can be in the presence of God. I remember going, you are so cruel. I remember crying out to God and saying, and you think you can't say that. Do you know what? He wants to hear that. And I remember crying out to God and saying, you're so cruel. How could you do this to me? Take my son. Take away every dream. And it was like God, then the Holy Spirit came. I just wanted to hear that. I just wanted to hear your heart. And I want to come by the Holy Spirit and land on the very thing that you thought would destroy you. Your destiny today demands the exposure of your heart. Your whole future today demands you exposing your heart to God. Is this good this morning? Nothing aborts the purpose of God like a hidden heart. We try to advance into our future, but when we don't open an extended heart, a truly surrendered heart to God, he can't come and land on your life because there's stuff that's hidden from him. Today, many of our entwined destinies require our hearts to be exposed. Our hearts have been outed through adversity, but God wants to place destiny upon it. There's a purpose and a calling upon you admitting who you are to God. God wants us to bring our inner self to him so he can heal it, wash it with his word, bathe it with his presence, and propel us into a kingly future. That's what God wants to do. You know, King David was known as a man who made a huge mistake, but more widely, he was known as a man who had a beautiful walk with his Father God. There's purpose and there's power in your weakness. The Bible talks about how much he wants to anoint our weakness and how we're not meant to boast as the world boasts, but we're meant to boast in the power of God resting upon our humanity. We're so constantly tempted to boast about our abilities and our accomplishments. But God actually triumphs when we throw out our inadequacies. When was the last time you said to your friend, I'm rubbish at this, I'm rubbish at that? go into your workplace, I'm rubbish at this, I'm rubbish at that. We don't, do we? Because we're taught, aren't we? We're taught to say how wonderful we are. And God actually wants to come and anoint our weakness. You know, in actual fact, I was talking to God this week again about it, saying I needed to be strong because I was going to Malaysia to do She Is, we're doing She Is Malaysia in 3 weeks. And Dave and I are selling two houses at the same time right now. And yeah, a lot going on. And then another large church in Malaysia just asked me, would I come and speak as well? I'm like, I just wanted to have a holiday. And I was talking to God about needing to be strong. And God spoke to me these words this week. This is hot off the press. Are you ready? I don't need your strength, Jenny. I need your weakness. I want to be the strong one in this relationship. I don't need your strength. I need your weakness because he wants to be the strong one in this relationship. 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about how rubbish I am, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I have a party on weakness. I have a wonderful day when I'm insulted. When I'm in hardships, I run round the block with excitement. In persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen, the world does not want your religiosity or your hypocrisy. It wants to see humanity swallowed up in victory. It wants to see humility packaged in glory. That's what the world wants to see. I'm just making sure I finish on time. 2 Samuel 22, verse 17 to 20 says this. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me. Today, the very thing that's taunted you for many years confronts you. It confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Do you know your walk with God is 10% you and 90% Jesus? And we turn it round to 90% us and 10% Jesus. And he wants you to know today that he delights in you. He delights in your weakness. He wants to be the strong guy in this relationship. He doesn't want you to be the strong person. He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to come to him and say, I am rubbish. I am not strong. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. You know, I have days now I go to God and say, God, I would like today to be having a coffee with my son, but he is a 24-hour flight away and I can't get back for dinner. You know, I'm just honest with my father. My son is giving me 4 days in Malaysia. Thanks, son, for that. Because he's got an album to get out on that. So I do understand. But, you know, like, I constantly tell God how annoyed I am by the whole situation. You know. When Dave is on his phone, again, when we're trying to have a moment's conversation, I'm like, God, he's on his phone again. How far can I throw it? I tell God how annoyed I am with things. And I'm quite sure God has a chuckle. And then he gives me the strength to put up with a husband and a son who are both semi-autistic. He gives me the strength to go again because that's the kind of God he is. God wants to see you. I believe today in a moment that God is going to make this into a light transforming Sunday where we reveal our dark side to the transforming power of God's presence and his word. And then he can propel us into our destiny as a house because he heals and he understands humanity. I want to read to you about the dark side of the moon because I did some research. This is what it said. The dark side of the moon is a side that is permanently turned away from the earth. Although it receives approximately the same amount of light as the other side of the moon. Interesting. The dark side of the moon is the portion that seems to face away from the sunlight. But measurements from a telescope in Hawaii in 2014 reveal that the color of the dark side of the moon is in reality turquoise. So even the things that you think do not reflect Jesus today, they have the turquoise color of a life redeemed. Isaiah 54. O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with lapis lazuli. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing, and they will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame, and who forges a weapon fit for his work. God is busy creating something beautiful out of your dark side of the moon. You're being forged into kingship this morning. You've never heard me speak so pastorally, have you, church? But this is the real me. This is the Jenny that has to daily sit on her father's knee to sustain my life. I want us to stand this morning. Some of us today are going to have to lift our hands to God in a moment and go, God, this is my dark side. The strange thing is, he already knew because he knows you inside and out. But he celebrates your dark side because it's actually turquoise, because it's already covered by the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. And what God wants us to do with that side is to admit it to him. And then the power of the anointing of heaven can come and anoint it. The very thing that is my biggest problem in my life, which is abandonment, is the very thing that God has as a life work for me. The little baby, me, that was abandoned at 10 days old. City Hearts now has over 25 of those babies of rape in our care right at this moment. God comes and anoints the very dark side and uses it. Amen. Won't you lift your hands to God for a moment? Just close your eyes right across this place. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that the wonderful thing about you is that you lead us at times to a valley. And Father, we wonder why we're there, but that's because you're wanting us again to address our soul. You're wanting us again, Lord God, to understand, Lord Jesus, how much you want us to need you. Father, you're not just looking all our lives, Lord God, for strong, incredible, mighty warriors, but Father, you're looking for people that need the power of God upon their weakness. And so, Father, we lift our hands to you today. And, Father, we deliberately right now surrender and open our hearts to you. And, Holy Spirit, this morning we ask you to come right now and pinpoint those areas of our heart that we try to hide because we think, Lord God, that they're beyond the power of God to redeem or touch or change. Father, we bring before you our sin and our weakness in it and the things, Lord God, that we'd rather just not think about. And Lord God, we present them to you to say today and we say, Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come as our adversity and our admission are raised to you, God, then you can come today and you can anoint our weakness and propel us into our future. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that your church is not just a place where you equip an army, but it's a place where you meet with every individual, every life. Father, where you sit down beside the well of our life and you minister deep into our souls. I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that your people would know that you are with them. That they would know again that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. That we would know again this morning, oh God, that you're not looking for us to be strong, Lord God. You want to be the strong guy. And so, Lord God, we take a moment right now, Lord God, and we lean back. We lean back into your everlasting arms. Father, we take a moment this morning for your Holy Spirit to lavish all the love of heaven upon our souls. Father, love us like only you can. Whisper your words of comfort into hearts, oh God, that are going through stuff they don't understand.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.